only imagine. Hope you still got your puzzle piece, because I want you to do some imagination now. Can only imagine. I want you to look at your puzzle piece. I want you to examine it closely. And I want you to imagine what the whole picture looks like. I want you to look at the piece that you've got. And I want you to imagine. I see some of you looking around. I didn't say share pieces. Some of you have already figured out, hey, I need some clues. I'm not sure I can get the whole picture from what I've got in my hand. Is that true? There's more to this than I thought. Well, I want to share with you, for many, many, many years, I did jigsaw puzzles. And I have done probably hundreds of them through the years. And I've done them in all different kinds of ways. And I found that sometimes it does take some imagination to figure out how to get all these pieces together. One time I did a puzzle that was one of those mystery puzzles. They don't give you the picture. And there's a story that goes along with it. And between putting the puzzle together and reading the story, you try to figure out what the mystery is. And some of the things I've learned have come especially from doing that. Doing a puzzle without the picture. So I want to tell you some of the things that I have learned about puzzles. And some of the things that have really stood out to me about doing puzzles. Often when putting together one, people have to have the box. Everyone wants the picture in order to put it together, right? I'm going to take my piece and I'm going to look at the picture on the box. And I'm going to try to figure out from the picture on the box, where exactly does this piece go, right? You want the box. And you want to be able to look at the box, and you want to try to understand from looking at the box, whereabouts on this whole thing does this go? Now, the second thing is, if somebody is helping you put the puzzle together, there's going to be a fight over the box. Right? I know, give me the box. I want the picture now. I want to look at the picture. I don't know if you've ever done this as a family. There are times that I did this together with my children, and we just kind of would lay a puzzle out, and then we would start putting it together as we could, and maybe a half an hour today and another day. One of the interesting things is if you have cats in the house, it's hard to put a puzzle together. Something about these little pieces, that cats love these little pieces, and they love to carry them off, right? So you want to have the box, and everybody wants to have the box in order to be able to reference it. Well, sometimes what you find out when you look at one of these pieces, you make some assumptions on where this goes, don't you? You make some assumptions on what this is part of. My piece happens to be a piece that's mainly green. That's about all there is in my piece. And so I would make some assumptions that this might be some grass, or it might be some trees, or it might be, right? Well, remember I told you I put together that mystery puzzle. And in putting together that mystery puzzle, I had this wonderful piece that was, I knew it was fire. It was absolutely fire. So as I put the puzzle together, remember this was one without a picture, as I put the puzzle together, what happened was there was a fireplace. And I said, how wonderful, because I've already found the fire. So I know this goes right here in the midst of this picture. And I know it goes right here because it's fire. There's no doubt about it. And as I put the pieces of puzzle together more and more and got all those things together, guess what I found out? It wouldn't go there. Why does this piece not go there? Because I can see the fire pieces on it. I can see the flames, and it was not quite in focus. And since it wasn't quite in focus, it's got to be the fire in the fireplace. And I tried over and over and over and over again to put it there, and it wouldn't fit. I had to change my assumptions about what that piece was. You know what I found out it eventually was? There was a bookshelf next to the fireplace in the puzzle. And it was an out-of-focus tiger that was sitting on the bookshelf. An out-of-focus tiger that was sitting on the bookshelf. You see, sometimes what happens is we might find somebody else. You guys might be able to do this today. You might find somebody else here, and I saw some of you trying. And as I walked around asking people, people were trying to find out, does their piece fit mine? And as two pieces come together, what happens then? We can get a better idea of what the picture is, right? But we might have to change some of our assumptions as these things come together. So what seems to be right is not always going to be right. The other thing I've learned from doing puzzles is it never looks like there's enough pieces to finish the puzzle. Right? Have you ever done puzzles? And you got this big hole in the puzzle and you're like, I know there's not enough pieces to finish this. Just can't be. And as you finish it, you find out, yeah, there was enough pieces, but there's that thing that happens in the midst of it. Well, when you try to find out where pieces go, you just got to try again and again and again, don't you? Doesn't work here, doesn't work here. And eventually you find the place by trying and failing over and over again. Patience is the only key to finishing a puzzle. That's the only key. I will tell you that there was one lady in the former church that I was at. When she moved into the nursing home, she worked puzzles on end. And she knew that I loved to work puzzles, and when I would go to visit with her, we would sit and work on jigsaw puzzles. And then I would harass other people and say, you guys pay me to do jigsaw puzzles. But it was such a fun visit with her, and it was always such a time to spend time with her. I do remember, though, one day I came in, and she had this puzzle that, I don't know, it must have been over 500 pieces. And she looked at me, and she said, today, because some days she wanted to play checkers, and nobody else would play checkers with her. And I would just sit and play games of checkers with her while I visited with her. But this day I came in and Virginia looked at me and she told me, she said, you're not leaving today until this puzzle is done. She'd had enough of the puzzle. And she wanted to finish it today. But patience is the key, isn't it? It takes some time and it takes some patience to put these things together. Last thing I want to share with you, there's many things I've learned, but the last thing I want to share with you about puzzles, trust me, this all relates to the sermon today, okay? The last thing I want to share with you is no matter how big or how small the puzzle is, no matter how many pieces you get in the right places, if you're missing one piece, that's the first thing somebody's going to tell you, right? It could be a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you have 999 pieces all linked together, all in the right place, and the first thing somebody's going to say when they see it is, you know you're missing a piece. Aren't they? Have you ever had that happen to you? They don't congratulate you that you got 999 pieces in the right place. They want to make sure you know a piece is missing. Yeah, I knew a piece is missing. I can tell. But let's celebrate the fact that they're all together. Well, I don't know whether you know or not, but today is the day of Pentecost. Today is the birthday of the church. This is the anniversary of the church. However you want to call it, maybe we should have sung happy birthday today, because this is the day that the Holy Spirit came down and lived amongst all the members of the church, not just select individuals as happened in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came and was in the midst of each and every person in the church. And that's what we want to talk about today. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 13 verses. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mere idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, or to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The Holy Spirit has been given to each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit has been given to each and every one of us. There is no one here who believes in Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has not been given to. We all have a responsibility to come to know the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not just lead people in charismatic or emotional ways. The Holy Spirit gives many different gifts to many different people in however the Spirit wants to give them. You see, the Holy Spirit gives at least one spiritual gift to each believer. Just as each one of you received a puzzle piece as you came in today, the Holy Spirit has given each one of you at least one spiritual gift. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives more than one to people, but each one of you has been given at least one. It is your responsibility and it is your duty to study and to learn what gift the Holy Spirit has given to you so that you might know how to use it. That you might know how to use it in a way to build up the body of Christ. Now, the second thing I want to share with you about this is that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. And we do not decide which spiritual gift we get. You can't sign up for one. You can't volunteer for one. It is given to you as the Holy Spirit decides to give it to you. Okay? We don't decide that. And you see, the reason that Paul is writing this to the Corinthian church is because somehow they got the idea that the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues was the very best gift, and that everybody had to have that gift Otherwise, you weren't really a Christian. And if you couldn't speak in tongues, you were nobody in their church. That's why Paul writes this. He says, look, you don't get to choose which gift you want. The Holy Spirit gives as the Holy Spirit determines to each person. And the gift of speaking in tongues is not the highest and holy gift there is. The wonderful chapter that comes after this that so many people love to use at weddings, which has nothing to do with weddings, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has nothing to do with weddings. You know that chapter, don't you? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is... And everybody likes to hear that at weddings. Paul is trying to tell the Corinthian church, love is more important than whatever spiritual gift you have. If you have the spiritual gift and you don't use it with love, your gift's nothing. Because he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am nothing. See, folks, we don't get to decide which spiritual gift we get. The Holy Spirit does that and gives us at least one of those gifts. The gifts work in different ways. But God is the one who uses all the gifts together in one work. God is the one who uses all the gifts together in one work. Some of these are works of service. Some of these are spiritual works. This is not a complete list that Paul gives us in this chapter. You can go to Romans chapter 12. You can go to Ephesians chapter 4. You can see different gifts there and some of the same gifts. There are different gifts. God is not limited to the ones that we read here in the scripture. Just as each one of you got a different piece of the puzzle, there are different gifts that are used different ways. But God is the one that brings all these things together into one large and wonderful picture in the process. God is the one that puts them all together and uses them in a way to bring about a greater good. Well, the last thing I want to share with you before we go back to our puzzle pieces. The gifts are given to be used for the common good of the community of faith. The gifts are given to be used for the common good of the community of faith, not for individual advancement. The gifts are not for individual advancement. And you see, the Corinthian church was using gifts that way. They were advancing one person above the other, and I'm greater than you because I can speak in tongues. Somebody's probably going to ask me afterwards, is speaking in tongues still a gift? Yes, it is. Can it be interpreted in many different ways? Yes, it can. You can speak a holy language, a divine language, or you can speak a heavenly language, or gain an understanding of a earthly language quicker. I think in some ways that God has given me the gift of listening to tongues. Listening to tongues. I was walking with a family that I lived in Kenya, and they were all speaking, all these ladies that we were walking with, they were all speaking in Kikuyu, which I do not know Kikuyu. Okay? I don't even know how to spell it. I just know how to pronounce it. Their mother tongue was Kikuyu, and they were talking, and I figured out what they were talking about and understood what they were talking about, and I laughed. Because, see, they were talking about me and the other guy that were staying with this family. And I was an adult because I was married and I had children. And in Kenyan society, you're not an adult until you're married, at least. And you're especially an adult once you have children. It does not matter your age. The other guy that was staying with us was in his late 20s, and he was not married. So they were talking about he was a kid, and I was an adult. And they were talking about, yeah, Bob is, he's still a kid. He hasn't become an adult yet. And I laughed. And they all stopped. And the lady, Anna, who was mama for the weekend that I stayed with them, same age as me, but she told me when I was going to bed, when I was getting up, when I was taking a bath, when I was eating, she was mama. Anna looked at me and she said, "Do you understand what we're talking about?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. You're talking about me and you're talking about Bob." And you're... they didn't speak Kikuyu anymore for the whole weekend. I think God has given me a gift that I can understand sometimes what people are talking about as I spend time with them, whether I can speak their language or not. I think Wycliffe Bible translators still have the gift of speaking in tongues. If you don't know about Wycliffe Bible translators, they go into a tribe that has no written language often, and they have no Bible in their language. And they spend time with that tribe until, one, they can develop a written language for that tribe, and then they translate the scriptures into that language so that the people can have a Bible. I truly believe those people have a gift of tongues, of being able to understand another language and develop it in a way to help folks. Well, let's go back to the puzzle piece. The first thing I'm going to tell you is that the box doesn't exist anymore. The box has been thrown away. And no, Deanne does not know what the box looks like. Only I know which puzzle I bought when I bought it. And I will tell you this, where I bought it, I won't tell you where, but where I bought it, it was the only puzzle that had this picture on it. So you can't go around the stores comparing yours to pictures, because there were no more of this puzzle. There's only one way you're going to find out what this picture is. It's going to require your cooperation to put this puzzle together. And that's the only way you'll find out what this picture is, because I'm not going to tell you ever. There are also pieces left over. This is a 300-piece puzzle, just so that you know. There are pieces left over. Do you know who these belong to? Come on, you can figure that out. Who? The people who aren't here. I'm not going to let you take these pieces to put the puzzle together. You've got to find the people that these pieces belong to. And it's only when we cooperate together, all 300 people, will we ever find out what this puzzle looks like. You can make all the assumptions you want. You can come and ask me all the questions you want to ask. I will never tell you what this picture is. There's only one way it's going to happen. By us cooperating together with each one of the pieces that we have. That's what the body of Christ is. Each one of you has a spiritual gift. And the only way this body of Christ at Withville Baptist Church is going to work the way that God intended for it to work is if we all take our pieces that we have and our spiritual gifts that we have and bring them together and work together. You can't take this home and say, this is a sacred piece. This is a sacred puzzle. I'm going to put it in my safe at home, because this is sacred. Your spiritual gift that you have been given is sacred, but it's sacred to be used in the midst of this community of believers and in this town. That's how it's to be used. That we reach people with Jesus Christ. What happens if one person in this congregation today decides not to use their spiritual gift? What happens? The puzzle's missing a piece, isn't it? And what are people going to notice? The piece that's missing, right? They don't notice all the pieces that are put together in the right place and in the right order and in the right way, do they? They notice what's missing. Well, we got something missing today. We got something missing today. These are the people that we've got to go out in the community and find. These are the people that we need to invite here. These are the people that need to be part of what we're doing here. You see how this illustration works? We need your piece, and we need the other people so that we can put all the pieces together. It's not an accident that you were here today. It was by God's design that you're here today and you got a piece of the puzzle. God's asking you to be part of the puzzle that's here at Withfield Baptist Church. I'm not going to collect the pieces back up. They're for you to keep a hold of, to remind you that you have a spiritual gift given to you by the Holy Spirit that needs to work in cooperation with everybody else. I will tell you this, is one of the only sermons that I have shared everywhere I've been. I don't repeat sermons, except for this one. The first time I did this sermon in my home church before I left for seminary, a husband and wife came to me after the service and said, "Look," they had come in at different times to worship service. Their pieces fit together. I said, "I don't believe you." They showed me that their pieces fit together. You know what? That was a God thing. The chances are your piece fits together with somebody else in here. Or someone we need to find, but I'm saying that it probably fits together with somebody else in here. And that might be a God thing to say, "Hey, you guys need to work together to accomplish what God's trying to accomplish." So here's what I'm going to ask you before the deacons come forward and we'll have a moment of prayer and then have communion for today. What are your plans for using your spiritual gift as God grows the body of Christ here at Withfield Baptist Church? What are your plans for using your spiritual gift as God grows the body of Christ here at Withfield Baptist? God is growing this body. God is working in this community. God is reaching out through us to other folks. What's your plans for using your piece of the puzzle, that we all might see the complete picture?